Get your Bible out, your iPad, smartphone, look on the screens. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. And this is the end of the book of Genesis. It's the end of Joseph's story. And of course, we remember Joseph, he had this incredible dream that caused him all kinds of problems. He had this dream that his family was going to bow down to him. And they got angry with him and threw him away, basically sold him off in slavery. But at the end of it all, this is what he said. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. A couple of things I want you to look at, but God meant it for good. Say those two words, meant it. God meant it for good. Sometimes when difficulty comes to us, trouble, trial, we think that it's bad, but it might be from the enemy bad, but God said, I meant it for good. And that process is where some of us are at right now. Don't get weary, don't lose heart. The scripture goes on to say, to bring about as it is this day. Your day is coming. Don't think that God's forgotten about you. Or God has overlooked you because it hasn't happened up to this point. He said, just as it is in this day. Now remember all the days that he spent as a slave. All the days he spent in prison. All the days he spent falsely accused and rejected by his family. But this day is the day that God said it would come to pass to save many people. So I want you to look at two people and say, your day is coming. I want you to say that. Your day is coming. Now Joseph, his story is about character. Character and how he reacted to the life that was dealt him, which befell him. He was constantly being rejected, constantly going into difficult situations. But it was all about how he reacted to those things that caused him to continually be promoted higher and higher. Often I ask myself this question, maybe some of you have asked the same. Why do people hurt other people? Why is it when it's such contrary lifestyle to the life of love that we're called to, and yet we still harm one another? Those questions are hard to answer. What about this one? Why does the Lord allow evil things to happen to good people? Or for anybody, that, for that matter. I mean, really, when you think about it, how would and should we react when somebody hurts us? There's not a person in this room who hasn't been hurt by someone at some time in your life. There's not a person in this room who hasn't been disappointed with the performance or the response or the reaction or the support that you thought you should be receiving that didn't come in your life. When those things happen, how do we respond to them? That's really the key, because Joseph shared with us in his life story that God has a day in our future where He will display His goodness in our life. And in the interim, you and I cannot get negative. We shouldn't begin thinking down about ourselves or about other people. But we need to put our hope in the Lord and realize that God has a plan. Listen to this. Keep in mind about Joseph's life. The pit didn't keep him long. And it released him from the prison. And he was now, from the platform of those experiences, resident in the palace. You may be going through a pit, maybe a prison experience. But remember, God has a platform from which He launches your life and my life into our ultimate destiny. And how many know, I kept hearing this in my heart. I've been telling people at the door this morning. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And the Bible answers it for ourselves. He said, no, nothing is too difficult for the Lord. So just know today that no matter what you're experiencing, nothing is too difficult for God. Now, God can take a seemingly negative situation and turn it into a promotion. And I want you to get that in your mind today, because some of you are in a negative time or season. But don't think that just because you're in a negative time or a season or a dark time, that God's not going to turn it around to bring a promotion out of it. If you get into a negative situation and starting to allow the negativity to dictate to your life how you view your tomorrow, you'll probably stay in that negative place. But if you know that a pit and a prison is only a platform to the palace, then it's only a matter of time before God brings you out and begins to thrust you forward. I want you to be encouraged today that God has a plan for your life, and it will be compressed. Time can be compressed. I've titled this message, Faster Than a Speeding Bullet. No, not Superman. That's how God works. What normally could take 20 years, God can take and finalize in 2 days. What normally might take a lifetime, God can turn around in just a few moments. It's only one moment with God that can reverse a lifetime of problems, difficulty, depression, negativity, rejection, abandonment, betrayal, and suddenly now God has given you a brand new platform. I think we need to lift our eyes just a little bit higher in life and get them off the circumstances, like I said last week. Too many of us are intoxicated on our circumstances. We got to stop drinking from the reality around us and begin to drink from the springs of living water to know that if God be for you, who can be against you? Come on. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen. Joseph's dream was the vehicle God used to accelerate his future. However, it didn't start out that way, did it? As soon as he shared his dream, everybody got angry with him. Everybody resented him. They said, let's kill him. You know, when you begin to walk into that part of your life where people have rejected you or people have misunderstood you, you think, oh man, what did I do now? Realize this, that God is so cool that He can do things faster and take you further than any situation that you are presently in. I want you to look at three people. Now, you got to help me. I know this is difficult for some of you because you've been taught not to talk in church. But look at three people and tell them, you are not stuck in life. Now, some of us might respond to that and say, yeah, you don't know my life. But ladies and gentlemen, please understand that there is something happening inside of you that is much greater than that which is happening around you or to you. God is with you. And when you have God, you have that potential for compressed time. Where you think you ought to be in life right now and you're not there yet, don't get discouraged, because what might take somebody 30 years to get to, God can take 3 days and bring you and launch you into your destiny. I'm getting up this morning thinking, God, I have a feeling you're about to accelerate some things in our life. How many know He's the God of transformation? Do you know Him like that? Absolutely. He's a God of transformation. Listen to this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. We're going to read it together. Ready? Let's read it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, if you believe that scripture, you believe that God is about to change some things in our life. Some things are not subject to change, you might conclude, because it's been the same for so long. Well, I want to talk about those things. I want to talk about the things that seem to be not working for you, or you seem to be stuck, or maybe even going in reverse. You know, when you think about transformation, you think in terms of opposites. I do. I don't know about you. But, for example, taking ugly and make it beautiful. God's able to transform people, right? Beauty for ashes. He could take ugly and make it beautiful. Or He could take a caterpillar and transform him into a butterfly, right? That thing that crawls and is subject to crawling on the ground. That little wormy thing. And all of a sudden, God can take that and transform it into a beautiful butterfly that can take flight. So that's how we think when we think about transformation. Or maybe you've seen some of the movies, Transformers, where a boat suddenly now turns and transforms into a robot. Have you ever seen those? That's what we think of when we think of transformation. And God does take us when we're ugly and make something beautiful out of our life. Look at somebody next to you and say, I'm so glad God transformed you into beauty. Oh, glory to God. Yeah. You know, my response to that would be, well, He's still working on my ugly. That's all right. And He's going to get that too. I'm about ready for a makeover. I don't know about you, but. And He picks us up when we crawled in our sin and our failure and in our past. And He makes us to soar. He takes us when we're broken and He puts us back together again and He makes us whole. There is some supernatural transformations, but let me just submit this to you. I believe you don't have to be broken down to experience transformation. You don't always have to be at the rock bottom in life to be promoted. God takes our lives that are good and He will always make them better. You see, we are in line for improvement. We are in line for God's rehab. Every day when you get up, you've got to say goodbye to the old and you've got to say welcome to the new. When you begin to look at your day or your future based on your past experiences, all you'll do is repeat life over and over again. There was an old movie out that was called Groundhog Day. And all he did was experience the same thing over and over again. And when I saw that movie, I thought, you know what? That's like a lot of our Christian living. We just go through the motions and live over and over our defeats and over our failures and over our problems. But how many know that all it takes is God's intervention and suddenly you can fast forward into your future? I like to say this, I give Miss Muhaw credit, my ninth grade English teacher. Good, better, best. Never let it rest till good turns to better and better turns to best. Some people say, well, it's good enough. Well, not in the kingdom. God always takes good and makes it better. And you may be better today, and that's better than being bitter. If you're here today and you're bitter, you need to get better so you can discover the best for your life. Some people along the way, because of disappointments, get bitter. And they go through life sour. And all they do is cause everybody else to grimace when they're around. It's time for a transformation in your life and in this whole community. I believe Northeastern Ohio needs an attitude check. We need to get a better attitude about our future and a better attitude about what God wants to do. Let me give you an example out of John chapter 2. Do you know the story? It's the first sign that John, he records in his writing of the gospel that Jesus performed. He went to a wedding. A lot of people talk about this because they want to justify drinking alcohol. And they said, well, you know, if Jesus turned water into wine, what's wrong with having a little bit of wine at dinner? Look, I'm not here to debate all of those things. I think if that's where you want to be in your theology, you're missing the point of this story. This story has a lot more to say than it does about alcohol, debating whether it should or you shouldn't. Because in John chapter 2, the first sign that Jesus performed was to take water and turn it into wine. These are the kind of transformations that I believe we need in this generation. There are people under the hearing of my voice that need this kind of transformation, because the water represented something that was established, and the wine that we transformed into was God's plan for that generation. Some of us have got a water mentality. A water mentality. Now, Jesus said, after his mother admonished him, he said, get those six pots over there and fill them with water to the brim. Now, if you know anything about those six pots, they were used for the purification according to the law of Moses. The purification said they had to fill them with waters so they can wash themselves and make them clean in preparation to come into the presence of the Lord. So those water pots represented an establishment, a relationship with God that was heaped under the law. Jesus said, go get those six water pots and fill them to the brim with water. Suddenly, something happened. Verse 11 tells us, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is what I believe that God wants to do in this generation, in this church age. It's not just going to church or voting a certain political genre, or perhaps listening to a certain kind of radio station, or ascribing to some kind of a television program that's Christian-based. And we tend to do all these external things to identify with whether or not we're believers or not. I really believe what God wants to do this age is to take some mentalities and transform them overnight into life, and life more abundantly. Jesus began to minister, and it's said in the text that the wine that Jesus produced out of these water pots was the best all day long. Now, even one of the servants said, we don't understand this. Most people save the worst wine for the last. That's because people are so tipsy, they don't really know what they're drinking by the time the end of the party comes. But you have saved the best for last. Say this with me. Jesus, I want to thank you in advance for saving the best for the last in my life. You and I have got to get this saying down. The rest of our days are going to be the best of our days. If you can begin to wake up in the morning and anticipate God's best, that God is transforming some stuff from a mentality that was attached to the old, so that you can be released to operate in the new, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then you're going to see yourself come to that day, like in Genesis 50 and verse 20, when Joseph said, it was God's plan. You meant it for evil, God meant it for good. And to bring me to this day. In other words, now I'm inviting you to come out of famine. I'm inviting you to come out of hardship and come live with me, because God has made me second in command of all of Egypt. I went through the pit, yes. I went through the prison, yes. God gave me the platform of the palace so that I could be a blessing to you and to the generation that's going to follow. The Bible said they came out of Canaan 70 people strong. But when they came out 400 years later, there were multiplied millions that came forth out of bondage and out of slavery to Egypt. Now God tells us something about being able to say transformation is happening in my life. Because he took something that had a basic level of faith in God, but was regulated around duty and resignation. Those water pots represented the law, keeping of the law, doing all of the duty and the ordinance of the law. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to transform that. My prayer is that in this house, that we would release ourselves from religiosity, performance Christianity, and begin to experience the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. How many can use a new dose of the joy of the Lord? I don't know about you, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. And God can do that overnight. Here's what God did when he transformed the water into the wine. Literally, he gave love back into our lives. You don't have to live without love. You don't have to live without feeling and sensing belonging. When you come to Christ, we ought to feel the love of God. I ministered Thursday night about love, and I encourage you and challenge you to listen to that message, and this will be part two this Thursday night. But the Godhead so loved each other. So loved each other. Jesus said that in John 17. Even as my Father has loved me, so I love you. There was such perfect love between the Godhead. That's why God created man. It wasn't because he needed somebody to praise him. It wasn't because he was lonely. It was because the love was so perfect that he said, let us make man in our image. This love is to be shared. This love is to be multiplied. So God created Adam. And when he created Adam and God gave him all the love of the Godhead in perfect form and perfect relationship, he said, Adam, it's not good that you should be alone. You need somebody to share your love with. And he created Eve. You see, that's where you and I can experience the fullness of God, is when we can experience the love of God. Didn't he say the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. He said the second command is just like the first, and that you would love your neighbor as you love yourself. So Jesus put love back into those water pots. Jesus put God back into those water pots. He gave those water pots texture, taste, and freedom to love and freedom to laugh. Look, if you come to Christ and you're depressed and you're feeling like you always miss the mark and that God's not happy with you and that you've got to try to perform and do more to get God's approval, you're probably still a water pot used for purification. Why don't you let Jesus visit you this morning and transform your life from duty and resignation into laughter and love and a relationship with the living God that will literally transform your life from the inside out. This whole miracle sign of water into wine was accelerated favor. One touch can change a water mentality into an experience of new wine. One touch. 20-year process was compressed into one moment's time. I did a little research and I said, well, Lord, how long does it take to make wine? Well, it takes 3 to 5 years for a vine to grow from a seed. And then it takes 6 to 7 months for the grape to be harvested. It takes 3 to 10 days to ferment the juice. And the best wines, 20 to 50 years to age. I thought, wow, just to produce wine could take 50 plus years. And Jesus took water in a moment and transformed it into the best wine. You know, God can transform your life right here before you leave and release you to the best of your days. That's what he said. You've saved the best for last. And I just want to prophesy over you today. I believe this in my spirit, that there are many in this room, that your best days are ahead of you, and that God has some tremendous blessings for you and over you, and that you are going to be amazed when things begin to transform overnight. I mean, I'm talking about 24-hour miraculous transformations that only God can do. You say, well, that's wishful hope and hopeful preaching, preacher. I don't know. That's kind of getting people all emotional and hyped up. Well, how about John chapter 5? Here's a man that was by the pool of Bethesda, 38 years, lame in his legs, could not walk. He laid by that pool for 38 years trying to get into it every time the water was troubled. And he couldn't get into it because he had no man to have compassion on him. Seemed like every break was against him just when he got close enough, but he couldn't make it all the way. Suddenly Jesus shows up in a moment's time. He didn't even need the pool that he thought he needed. Suddenly Jesus said, take up your pallet and walk. And that man who had been ill for 38 years trying to get better came in communion and contact with the living Christ, and faster than a speeding bullet, Jesus took his lameness and gave him wholeness. I want to speak this over you today, that God is about to do something faster than a speeding bullet in your life, and He wants to restore to you what the enemy has stolen. You know, at Christmas time, I'll just tell you this quick story. When my parents were alive, my dad's been gone now 30-some years, and Mom about 27 years or so. But we used to gather together at Christmas. We'd go over at Christmas Eve. And my family would come, all the kids, and we'd sit there around the tree in that little living room and open up gifts and exchange things and have our pleasantries. It was a typical, normal Christmas. Soon as everything was over and all the wrapping papers were cleaned up and put into a garbage bag, everybody was sitting around. My dad would disappear out from his bedroom, there by his dresser stand next to the bed. He had carefully prepared envelopes, one for my sister, one for my brother, and one for me. He would come walking down the hallway into the living room, and I could see this big Hungarian man speaking broken English most of his life, only had a third grade education, hard-working man. Tears would run down his face as he walked toward us with these envelopes. And he would say, "I've got one more gift for you." And he would pass out these envelopes. We would open them up, and the first time they did it, we weren't sure what was in it. But the next Christmas, we started waiting for the envelopes. Because I want you to know, there were hundreds of dollars inside that envelope. And it was like, okay, let's get these presents opened up because I want that envelope. And just like my dad, your Heavenly Father has saved the best for last for you. And He's walking down the hallway with tears on His eyes saying, "I can't hardly wait to bless my little girl or bless my little boy." You need to receive it this morning, that God be for you. Who can be against you? Amen. Amen and amen. Well, I've kind of picked up on that tradition. I do that with my kids now. I prepare envelopes for them, and I'm always excited. Somewhere around September, October, I think, okay, how am I going to get this money? Lord, I need some extra cash. I want to bless them. And I want to do like my dad did. And this last year, I didn't even want to put envelopes out because I've been doing it now for years with them. I said, "I'm not going to put any out. I'm going to make them sweat." But Tina said, "Nah, don't do that. Don't wait till the end. Just give it to them." I said, "Oh, yeah, but my dad used to make me wait. I'd like to do that, but I can't do it, you know." But I want to share one more story, actually two, real quickly with you. Number 17 records God's answer to the question of who's in charge anyway. There was a rebellion in the house of God. Korah led it. It was an ugly thing. But sometimes when you're going through struggles and you can't really see clearly your future, you wonder, "God, are you really in charge of my tomorrow? Or am I in trouble? Or should I just take over?" I don't know if you've ever been tempted to do that. I don't know if you've ever tried to do that. It's not a good idea. Okay, tell somebody next to you, it's not a good idea to take over for God. No, it's not a good idea to take over for God. Let me just tell you now, I've tried it, not a good idea, all right? But this is what happened in Numbers chapter 17. So God told Moses, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take each staff from each leader of each tribe of Israel and bring them to me." If you read the story in Numbers 17, there were 12 staffs. I don't have a staff here with me, but I could have easily prepared one for you. You've seen the pieces of wood. You walk over them in the woods or the metro parks. Or you don't even think about the driftwood that's on the beach. You just know it's been disattached and disconnected. And now it's just a rod laying on the ground. Each one of the tribal leaders had their staff that represented their tribe. God said, "Bring all these staffs toward me and place them in the tabernacle of my presence for 24 hours. Now, this is an interesting story because they were challenging as to whether or not God was in charge, or were they in charge, or who was it that they ought to follow. The next morning, something supernatural happened. How many know the story? Let me see your hand. All right, lots of you. Well, the story tells us that when they got to the tabernacle of the presence of God the next morning, 11 of the staffs were just dead staffs. But the one staff that looked just like the other dead 11 suddenly had leaves on it and blossoms and almonds. It was a miracle that a staff that seemingly looked like it was detached from life source, suddenly, because it was in the presence of God, only one of them was able to blossom, leaf out, and bear almonds in 24 hours. Let me just say this again. I'm speaking to somebody about a turnaround from God. That if you'll present yourself into the presence of God, that He could take what has seemingly been detached and dead and cause it to bloom within 24 hours. Now let me give you a little insight in this story. I'm not going to take the time to read it. What staff was chosen to bloom? It was Levi's staff. Levi, or the sons of Aaron. Now, Levi is an interesting character in the Bible. And this is important for us to get as we get ready to close this out. Because if you'll look at Genesis chapter, I believe it is 49, verses 5 to 7. Do you have those verses for me? Yeah. This is the blessing of Jacob over his sons. And this is what he's speaking over Levi. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Instruments of cruelty are in their dwelling place. Wow. Doesn't sound like Levi's got a very good blessing upon his life. Let not my soul enter their counsel. I don't like what they say. They're cruel and they're mean. Let not my honor be united to their assembly. I'm not even going to honor Levi and Simeon. Whoa. For in their anger, they slew a man. And in their self-will, they hamstrung an ox. Verse 7. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Now, how many think Levi was postured to blossom in 24 hours? I don't think there's one person in here that would agree with me that he was qualified to be blessed by God for a 24-hour transformation turnaround. But here's the interesting antidote to this story. Levi's name means attached. Everybody say that word with me, attached. Levi's name means attached. And here's what the Holy Spirit showed me. Even though Levi had been cruel and self-willed and angry, and God didn't want anything to do with his assembly, Levi was still attached to the heart of God. And that tells me that there are times in our life when we blow it, and we don't act Christian, and we don't really speak right, and we don't play the church game like everybody else does, and we kind of distance ourselves from all of the Christian thought and theology, and we're still attached. We made some wrong choices. We involved ourselves in some wrong people. We've done some wrong things, but we're still attached. And God said, Levi, let me show you something about a generation to come. That even though it looked as though they were cut off from life source, in my presence, even though he had done all these things, he remained attached to my heart. And because he remained attached, I'm going to bless him and turn things around in 24 hours. Let me just say this. You are not a dead stick sitting on a pew this morning. God can turn things around in your life in 24 hours. You may feel like you're the most unqualified, but you're attached. You may feel like you're the biggest failure, but you're attached. You may feel like you've never got a break, but you're attached. You may feel like you're defeated, but you're still attached. And God wants to accelerate favor in your life. Because He lives, you can live. Because He's fruitful, you can be fruitful. Why? Because you're attached. You know, you have to get this in your heart Lord, I know I haven't been perfect. I know I haven't done everything right, but I'm still attached. I still believe in you. I still want to be one with you. God, can you take me back? Diseased in my body? Yeah, but I'm attached. Do I lack finances and resources? Sure, but I'm attached. Am I feeling lonely? Am I feeling down? Am I feeling betrayed? Yeah, but I'm still attached. Do I feel as though that I have been cast out and that I have no hope and I have no help in the present? Yeah, but I'm still attached. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you today. No matter what your past has been, as long as you are attached through Jesus Christ in covenant by the Holy Spirit with an eternal God, that God is going to be for you and not against you. And if you'll just present yourself to Him right now, just present yourself to God. He can turn things around within 24 hours. Why? Because He's faster than a speeding bullet. All right, my last story. Are you ready? Don't fall into despair when you're facing trials or adversity. You know, you got to get up in the morning and you think, oh my gosh, my car's broke down. Oh, the dog just bit me. Oh, my daughter just peed all over me. I'm trying to get ready for church. This is a terrible day. Listen to me. When those things happen, attached people look for the promotion in the middle of the adversity. People that are attached look for God's platform in the middle of difficulty. You and I ought to train our thinking sort of like a Secret Service agent, that when a gunshot is heard, they stand up and make themselves big. You and I, we crunch down and hide under whatever we can find to hide under, because that's the natural response. The natural response in adversity is for us to complain and become negative about it. But the supernatural response is to make ourselves big in God and say, I know that God is for me and something good is about to happen in my life. I don't know about you, but David felt like he was falling behind. He was out there taking care of dad's sheep. Nobody wanted to take care of the sheep. That was the lowliest of positions. He had other brothers. And when Samuel was looking for the next king, God told him to go to his house and anoint the next king. So Jesse brought all of the boys out except David. Samuel went down each one and said, this isn't the guy. Do you have anybody else? He goes, well, I got one other kid. And he's out there watching the sheep. And Samuel said, bring him in. David didn't even get called to the lineup. David wasn't even invited to the family luncheon with the prophet that was visiting. You think about that with me, ladies and gentlemen. That tells me David was falling behind in life. When everybody else was being chosen, when everybody else was being celebrated, they didn't even mention David's name. They didn't even consider David as a possibility. Let me tell you something. You may be sitting here today thinking that no one even knows you exist. But God knows you exist. God has your name written on the palm of His hand. And He says you have become the apple of His eye. Suddenly David is anointed by Samuel. What follows that particular story is absolutely incredible. Because David up to this point was living in obscurity. Nobody knew him. He had no influences. He had no encouragement. Nothing went his way. He must have felt like he was just a big failure. Then he faced the biggest battle in his life. Oh, the lion and the bear? Small potatoes, considering this 11-foot Goliath. Sometimes when you're faced in the biggest battle of your life, God says, I brought you to this place to accelerate the favor on your life. Everybody else thought David was going to be crushed, but God had other plans. David came with great faith. You know the story. He took that sling and knocked Goliath down, took Goliath's own sword and beheaded him. And in that moment of time, David's greatest battle, God used it to promote him. In 24 hours, from obscurity to the promised king of Israel, from nobody knowing his name to people singing songs about him, from a person who is struggling to make ends meet, living a tax-free life the rest of his life, a person who didn't even have a girlfriend, suddenly now a spouse to the king's daughter and became part of the royal family. You say, how did all this happen? Faster than a speeding bullet. God can take you further and faster than anything can possibly take you. If you'll just trust him this morning, rely on him, lean not to your own ways and own understanding, and just say, God, I'm going with you today. I am not going to try to take over my life. Here's what I think we need to consider. The battle you're presently in can be just the thing that God will use to compress time and make you into what he's envisioned all along. T and I have the challenge most every day, praying with families who are going through trials. Hardly a day goes by we don't get a phone call, whether it's some debilitating disease or some death. Two calls yesterday of family members that had expired because of cancer. Pray for us. A pastor's wife calling. Pray for us. My husband's left me for another woman. This situation and that situation. Family calling saying, can you pray and counsel us? We've had some horrible things happen within our family. And sometimes I look at that and I say, God, where are you in all of this? He said, I'm right there. If they'll acknowledge me and understand that this battle that they're presently in is just a platform to promote them, if they'll just allow me to launch them to the next level, not become weary in well-doing, but know that God be for you. Say it with me. Who? Here's the points to ponder. What am I in my present not seeing that God has in front of me when all I have to do is have him open my eyes? Hagar was in the middle of a wilderness about to die when God opened her eyes and she found a fountain, a spring of life. What's in your present that right now you're not seeing in the natural? Like Abraham, what have I overlooked in my past that I'm in my present being overwhelmed? The Bible said he looked behind him and saw the ram stuck in the thicket. Have you journeyed in life and overlooked some things that God has provided for you that if you'll just take a second look, God can use to bring peace and deliverance and victory in your life? Number three, what miracle does God have planned for me in my daily routine? Stop making life mundane. Don't get depressed over the fact that you get up in the morning and you go to work and you come home and you feed the cat and you take out the garbage and you just seems like you're just mundane and routine. When God told Peter, go back down to the lake, got it, I've been a fisherman all my life, I know where the lake is, thank you very much. Throw in a hook, I know all about hooks. Take a fish, I've been fishing all my life, excuse me. Hold the fish in your hand, got it. Open its mouth. I've done that a million times. Take out the coin. What? In the middle of your routine, God can show up miraculously in your life if you'll just start expecting it. And number four, how can I increase my capacity for more of God? He told Jehoshaphat, dig a ditch and I'll fill it. But I'll fill it without wind and without rain. In other words, I'm not going to use natural processes to fill it. I'm going to use myself, which is supernatural. If you'll make room for God, God will fill that place in your life. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Faith Camp. And if you and I can walk by faith and not by sight, how many know that we can walk in the victory every day of our life? Amen? Come on, let's give God praise. Come on, give God some praise. Amen? Yeah, I believe that. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise. Thank you, Lord. Thursday night, I'll be sharing with you part two about the perfect love that the Godhead had experienced and how they shared it with us. And how you and I really are not to seek after miracles, signs, and wonders. We're to seek after love. Because miracles, signs, and wonders are just an expression of God's love. A lot of people today can't even get along with their neighbor, but yet they tout that they operate in spiritual gifts. That's never God's intention. He said, if you can operate in my love, then these things will flow automatically. And you'll hear part two that'll literally revolutionize your life. And then guys, Fight Club, how to fight and win. Some of you men have been bullied all of your life. You need to come home to Papa. Let me teach you how to give a nice left hook and a right hook and how to knock that guy out. We're going to teach you how to fight on Thursday nights, and we hope that you'll join us. And we've got a special gift for you as well if you come. I've enjoyed being with you here this morning. Church, we pray for you daily. We believe God for your successes. Thank you for entrusting yourself with us. We believe God for the victory and for the formation of Christ in your life day after day. We're hearing great victories of healings and people getting breakthrough, families and restoration of marriages. Awesome things that God's doing. But how many know there's much more to be done? And all we need is a people who will present themselves before the Lord. Right before we go, I'm going to ask that you would do something for me. I want to stand with one of my favorite daughters in the house who's going through cancer, who needs to have treatment that's going to cost nearly $2,000 a week over the next 4 to 6 weeks and really is not covered by their insurance. And I want to stand with them as a church. So whatever you might be able to give today in a benevolent offering, maybe you can give a couple of dollars or the equivalent of a pizza. We could all probably forego the pizza and give to the Lord today. But let's be a blessing to one who is in need. The Bible said when they rejoice, let all of us rejoice. When we weep, we ought to all weep. So please, whatever your heart of generosity would afford, would you kindly given this offering as we conclude the service. So, gentlemen, ladies, would you come to receive this offering? You can make a check out to CNC. Father, I know that you are a God that is good all the time. I thank you for the generosity of your people. And I know, Lord Jesus, that this family is just passing through this time of disease. Why? Because they're attached. And when you're attached, God goes on the attack. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the victory. In your name we ask, amen. You can receive that offering. I'd appreciate it so much. And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, do we have ushers or no? Yes? Coming? Okay. Here they come. I thought you were already down. I had my eyes closed and I thought you were here. If you've not received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, please, before you go that way, come to the altar and let us pray for you. If you need prayer personally for physical healing in your body, weakness, sickness, we believe God that He's the healer. All right. Also, the spiritual gifts to be activated in your life. Baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Perhaps God's called you to a closer walk with Him. You've been backslidden and you want to reaffirm your faith with God. This is a good time to do that. Or maybe you're looking for a church home and you're just wondering whether or not this might be it. We'd like to pray with you. Go where the Spirit of God is leading you. But remember this, live right, love everybody, and pray hard.